إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we praise Him. And we seek Allah's forgiveness. And we ask for Allah's assistance. And we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, no one can misguide. And whomever Allah leads astray because they do not want any guidance, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon him, his companions, and whomever follows them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Allah tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, have taqwa towards Allah. Put a shield between you and the punishment of Allah by doing that which He commanded and staying away from that which He forbade. And do not die as anything but Muslims in a state of submission to Allah. Allah also says in the Quran, O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, Adam, and from him created his partner, Eve, and from them dispersed many men and women upon earth. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights, and reverence the wombs that bore you. Verily Allah ever watches over you. Allah also says in the Quran, O you who believe, have taqwa towards Allah, and say a good word. He will help you accomplish good deeds, and He will forgive you the sins. And verily whomever obeys Allah and His Messenger has attained the greatest success. As to what follows, verily the most truthful speech in this universe is the Book of Allah, the Quran. And the best guidance, and the best way of life, and the best example is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And verily, the worst affairs are the things that we introduce into religion. Because every newly introduced matter is an innovation. And every innovation will lead us astray. And if we are astray, we're not going to paradise. We're going to hell. Brothers in Islam, there's a misconception among the disbelievers about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some tend to say that Allah, the one whom we worship, is not merciful and does not love. We human beings have the quality of love. You love your parents, you love your children, you may love your job. Some people love money, some people love the world, some people love their car. People have different kind of things that they love. And this is a quality that we, the son of Adam, possess. Now the question at stake is, does Allah Jalla wa Ala love? This is the question. Does Allah have the quality of love? And if so, how can we, Muslims, make sure that we have the things that are necessary in order to attain the love of Allah? Salah is a big deal. And when a Muslim speaks, he doesn't speak from his own mind, from his own intellect. He has to refer to the revelation which has been sent down by Allah. The book of Allah, the Quran, and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is where we will derive this confirmation. Does Allah love? If you read the Quran, particularly chapter Al-Baqarah, the cow, you will come across a verse that will say the following: وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. A command was given to do ihsan. Now the English language is very weak, and the word ihsan in Arabic is much stronger, and it encompasses a lot of meanings. But the rough translation is good. Allah says do good. Why? Verily Allah loves those who do good. So we have confirmed that Allah loves. But it's conditional to a quality that we possess in order to attain the love of Allah Jalla wa Ala. What is it in this particular verse? Ihsan. What is ihsan? We said in English is doing good. This is not it. The best way to explain and give a definition for ihsan is the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. When Jibreel came to him in the form of a man, most of you know this hadith, he came in the appearance of a man wearing white clothes, had very dark hair, he didn't look like he was traveling, and he came and asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam four questions. Among them, after he asked him about Islam, the Prophet ﷺ told him what Islam is, the five pillars of Islam. He asked him about Iman, he gave him the six pillars of Iman. Then he told him, Ihsan, أخبرني عن الإحسان. قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراه. He said, Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. But if you're unable to reach this level, then at least know that Allah sees you. This is Ihsan. Now let's try to clarify a little bit. What does that mean? To worship Allah as if you can see Him. No one can see Allah in this world. Currently, no one can see Allah. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is too magnificent and too powerful that the son of Adam would not be able to resist. And when Musa alayhi salam, as it comes in the Quran, requested to look at Allah, Allah told him, you will not be able to see me. But look at the mountain. If the mountain remains in its place, then you shall be able to see me. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a portion of His majesty to the mountain crushed. And Musa passed out, alayhi salatu wassalam. Because we cannot handle it. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. This is what is understood by this, is that you have hope, and you are a servant of Allah, and you are performing your duty as a Muslim as if you are looking at Allah. See me, as if you could see Him. And we strike an example. If you are at work and your mudir is standing right above your head, you usually wouldn't play around. Maybe if the mudir is not there and you're supposed to be doing something, you start playing with something else. Maybe you go to the internet, check some websites. As soon as the mudir comes, you go back to the real serious mode. Why? Because the mudir is right there observing you, so you don't play around. And so if a Muslim understands this reality and Allah is the highest example, then we really cannot be playing around. And we should not be in a place where Allah doesn't want us to be. And we should be in the place where Allah wants us to be. Because we are worshipping Allah as if we could see Him. If we're unable to reach this level, then at least we need to know that Allah sees us. Allah sees everything, hears everything, knows everything, everywhere at the same time. No one has this ability, and no one possesses this quality but Allah Jalla wa Ala. So ihsan is of two kinds. There's ihsan as far as our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's ihsan to the creation of Allah. So you help your Muslim brother, you are there for him, you assist him. If he needs your help, you're there for him. You don't harm him verbally. You don't abuse him. You don't speak ill about him. You don't backbite him. And ihsan to those who have not entered into Islam, in order for them to enter into Islam. those who are not in a state of war with you. We are commanded in the Quran to treat them with justice and with kindness. So you help people who deserve to be helped without going outside the boundaries of loving for Allah's sake. We only love those whom Allah loves. And Allah loves only the righteous believers. So we love the ones whom Allah loves. Those who don't have this quality, we ask Allah to guide them. We give them information. We invite them with a gentle manner, with wisdom, with good preaching. We don't abuse them. But love can only be given to those whom Allah loves. So my brothers, if we do not have this quality of ihsan, then we need to activate it in order to attain Allah's love. Because Allah says, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Do good, verily Allah loves those who do good. There's another verse in Surah Al-Baqarah dealing with the very same subject matter. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Verily, Allah loves those who are in a continuous repentance, always repenting, وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ, and He loves those who purify themselves. So the son of Adam, as it comes in the narration of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every son of Adam is a sinner. And when we say this, we don't mean that you inherit the original sin from Adam. No. But by nature, we have weaknesses, and Allah has allowed the devil to whisper to us as means of trial. So we will fall into sin, but we will carry our own sin. But the good news that we have is that repentance erases all the sins that we commit. At-tawbah tamhu ma qablaha. Repentance erases everything that precedes it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, every son of Adam is a sinner, but verily the best of sinners are those who repent. So repentance is a serious part of Islam. So much so, that if you lived your whole life as a disbeliever, your whole life ascribe a bonus to Allah, your whole life claiming that Allah has taken a child, and then one day you repented from this belief system and you entered into Islam and you died that very same day, then you are among the people of paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase for you all the years of transgression, oppression and disbelief simply by repenting and going back to the truth. And so much so, the same thing is applicable to a Muslim. If we have been transgressing against Allah's limitations, all we have to do is stop and repent to Allah. Now what is repentance? Is it just some words? Or astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh? You see somebody smoking a cigarette, say, ya akhi, this is haram. Allah gave you this body so you can take care of it. And Allah says, do not kill yourselves. Verily Allah is merciful to you. And we don't need to go into the scientific background of what a cigarette does to your body. You already know how many people die each year. So you advise a brother, he tell you, while he's puffing a cigarette, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Ashhada. We're not playing games over here. If you want to say astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, I seek repentance from Allah, I ask Allah's forgiveness and I repent to Him, you better have some action backing this up. It ain't just a bunch of words that you say in your mouth. This is why we know that the repentance has five conditions. If we don't come up with these conditions, there's no repentance for one of us. So let us make sure that we pay attention right now to what these conditions are. Condition number one, sincerity. Meaning we do it for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of people. So if people have been telling you for 10 years, ya akhi, stop smoking, stop smoking, stop smoking. So you get sick and tired of people telling you to stop smoking, so you stop smoking so they can stop telling you. Not because you're trying to please Allah, this ain't no repentance. Because your intention is for the people, not for Allah's sake. Second condition is that you feel regret. And the good news is that Allah gave our hearts a scale of sensitivity. Whenever you do something bad, you feel bad. This is an-nafsul lawwama, the soul that reprimands you for doing bad. If you feel bad after you commit a sin, praise Allah Azza wa Jal for giving you a heart that is functioning properly. The problem is when our hearts become dead and we are living in a state of sin day and night and we don't even pay attention. We think we are upon goodness. Oh, I'm a righteous brother, man. You should only see me. This is where the problem is. So when your heart tells you that what you have done is wrong, this is the second condition of tawbah to be accepted, that you feel regret and nadam. Condition number three, leave it alone. We gotta leave it alone. If we don't leave it alone, then we are not really repenting. The same one as the one who continues smoking a cigarette. Then he puffs the next one, and the next one, and he buys another box. I'm only striking the example of cigarettes, not to pick on anyone. I didn't see anyone smoke, so I'm not trying to give you an indirect da'wah. But this is an easy example that we can all relate to, inshallah. The fourth condition is that you have the intention never to go back to it again. Tayyib, and this is very sensitive. Because sometimes people leave something because it's difficult for them to do it. Maybe you look like you like looking at women. And Allah has commanded us in the Quran, وَكُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men that they should lower their gaze when they see a woman who is not lawful for them. Maybe you lived in another country where women do not dress in a manner where they do over here. Alhamdulillah, a good portion of them here cover themselves, besides those who have gone astray. And you like looking at women, although it is not permissible for you to do so. So you come to Saudiya, and you're unable to fulfill this particular pleasure of yours because you can't find any women who are exposing themselves. But you know that as soon as you see a woman who is uncovered, you're going to look at her. So you leaving alone looking woman at that time is unacceptable. This is not repentance, because you did not have the intention to leave it alone for good. You're only waiting for the next opportunity. It just doesn't happen to be available right now. And the fifth condition is that you do it before you die. Before the angel of death comes and say, come on, let's go. Without any warning, without any notification, you will not get a text message, you will not get an email. Say, I'm on my way to take you to your Lord. Make sure you're ready, make sure you repent. He just comes, and we just go. As you probably see from your relatives and brothers that you know. So we need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before that particular moment, or before the day of judgment. Anyways, what's the bottom line of this? Allah loves those who repent. So if we sin, which we will, let us not be heedless, brothers, and continue sinning. Let us at least repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if we fall back into the same sin again because of weakness, this is another story. The problem is when we don't even bother and we don't repent. Allah also says, وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Allah loves those who purify themselves. And what is intended by purification here is the outer purification. Meaning when you go to the bathroom and you clean yourself according to the way the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, this is tatahur. When you run the water and you say Bismillah and you start making wudu, this is tatahur. Allah loves those who do that. Have we ever thought of that? We usually think that wudu is only a condition for the salah. Have we ever thought while we are actually making wudu that we are attaining Allah's love at that particular moment? Allah says it in the Quran. Allah loves those who purify themselves. So the benefit of this verse is that it deals with two things. Inwardly, outwardly. Allah loves those who repent on the inside. Allah loves those who purify themselves on the outside. If we don't have these two qualities, bring them in. Let's include them in our lives. And last but not least, there are many other verses, but this verse is very dear to me, and it's probably very dear to you. And it is really, as the scholars called it, ayatul tahaddi. It is the verse of challenge. Allah Azza wa Jal challenged the creation. Non-Muslims first, and Muslims second. Because some people came and claimed that they love Allah. They said that we love Allah. You hear this from disbelievers all day. Oh, I love God. I'm devoted to God. All my life is serving God. And you will hear a Muslim. So I love Allah. And I am very pleased with Allah as my Lord. And I follow everything that comes from Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Imran. Chapter Al-Imran. Memorize it. It's the third chapter in the Quran. Verse number 31. Remember this verse. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah says, if you claim that you love Allah, then follow me. Who is me? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is commanding him to tell the disbelievers first. You claim that you love God? What are you doing outside of Islam? What are you doing now following me? The messenger who came and confirmed everything that came before me. The true messenger of God. The slave of God. Why aren't you following me if you claim that you love Allah? If they don't meet this challenge, then they are liars in this claim. And they do not love Allah. And for the believers, if we claim that we love Allah, then where are we from the way and the method and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has commanded the Muslims to conduct themselves in a certain fashion, inwardly and outwardly. Islam is a complete way of life. You don't look like a disbeliever and say, I'm Islam on the inside. You have to have Islam on the inside, Islam on the outside. When you walk down the street, people need to know that you're a Muslim. Because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this to his companions. He told them in various narrations, distinguish yourself from the mushrikeen. Let your beard grow. Trim your mustache. He seen some brothers, old brothers with white beard. He said, do not look like the Jews. Dye it, but avoid black. Change the color. So you will not look like the Jews. When he seen a brother wearing an outfit of the disbelievers, he told them, take it off. This is the outfit of the disbelievers. The Jews understood this. He seen that the Jews used to not pray with his shoes. He commanded the Muslims, distinguish yourself from the Jews. Pray with your shoes. Then the Jews picked up on this. He said, man, this man is not going to leave anything in our religion except that he will command his people to go against it. They understood that he gave Muslims an identity that we are honored by. Anytime we go outside seeking honor elsewhere, Allah will never honor us. And look at the state of Muslims nowadays. Because we have lost our identity and we think that we will be honored by being something other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And this is wallahi a fallacy. And this is incorrect. Really, the honor is by you being a Muslim, being proud of being a Muslim, resembling Islam in your behavior. Most importantly, we don't want somebody on the outside as a Muslim and on the inside is a terrible individual pushing people away from the deen of Allah. We want a complete package though. Because Allah says, if you claim that you love Allah, then follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us something, know that it is important. Do you think that the message of Allah will command us to do things that Allah doesn't want? If He said something, even if to you it's unimportant, believe me, it is important to Allah because Allah revealed it to Him. And He commanded Him to command us. So we need to carry it out. And what happens? This is the beauty of this verse. Allah first put the challenge. If you claim that you love Allah, follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know what Allah says in the continuation of the verse? Allah will love you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah jalla wa ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the universe, the outstanding creation that we cannot even start to understand, is telling you that He will love you, son of Adam who came from a drop of semen, if you follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how do we turn away? How do we fall short? Is there anything more valuable than Allah loving you? I doubt it. Because if Allah loves you, He will show mercy to you in this world and in the hereafter. And if Allah doesn't love you, you cannot expect no goodness. Because no one is more merciful than Allah. And if Allah doesn't show mercy to you because He doesn't love you, then you are lost, the ultimate loss on the Day of Judgment. So we need to be mindful of that. And Allah says, and He will forgive you your sins. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي لَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers, I would like to share with you a narration that really touches the heart. And if you have never heard this narration, be prepared. If you have heard it, make sure that you're on the good side of it. Because this narration has two sides. There's a good side and there's a bad side. The narration is all good, but I'm talking about the outcome or where we fall. We could be on either side. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا دَعَى جِبْرِيلٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبَّهُ فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلٌ ثُمَّ يُنَادِي فِي أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّوهُ فَيُحِبُّهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ يُوضَعَ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَفْوًا. Check this out. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, whenever Allah loves a servant, He calls on to Jibreel. Gabriel, the angel who brings revelation. One of the mightiest angel that we know of, whom when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen, had covered the whole horizon. And he passed out. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got scared from seeing an angel in his real form that one time. Allah Azza wa Jal, if He loves one of us, and I would like you to think that this is about you. Whatever your name is, Muhammad, Abdul Rahman, Abdullah, put your name in this particular narration. If Allah loves a servant, He calls on to Jibreel. He says, Jibreel, I love such and such person, whatever your name is. I love Umar, so love him. Then Allah commands Jibreel to love you. Then Jibreel will go into the inhabitants of the heavens, the angels. He will say, Allah Azza wa Jal loves Fulan, X person, so love him. Then the inhabitants of the heavens will love you. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will put love for you on earth, where people will love you, even if they don't know you. And only people who don't love you are evil people. And it doesn't mean that everyone who is loved is good, because evil people love evil people, and good people love good people. So don't think because people like some big star, 50 cents or something, that means that Allah loves him. That just means that him and the people who are like his, like him, love each other. A Muslim, a believer, cannot love someone whom Allah doesn't love. Now this is the good part of the narration, which we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us this brother, whom Allah Azza wa Jal, with His majesty, with His power, with His richness, with His self-sufficiency, still calls on to Jibreel to tell him that He loves you. And then He commands Jibreel to love you. And Jibreel commands the inhabitants of the heavens to love you. And Allah will put love for you on earth. Here comes the second part. Be careful now. وَإِذَا أَبْغَضَ عَبْدًا دَعَى جِبْرِيلٌ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أُبْغِضُ فُلَانًا فَأَبْغِضُهُ فَيُبْغِضُهُ جِبْرِيلٌ ثُمَّ يُنَادِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِضُ فُلَانًا فَأَبْغِضُهُ ثُمَّ يُوضَعَ لَهُ الْبَغْضَاءُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And if Allah does not like an individual, He calls on to Jibreel. He says, I do not like such and such person, so don't like him. Actually, the term says both, which is hate. I hate this person, so hate him. Then Jibreel hates you. Then He calls on the inhabitants of the heavens to hate you, because Allah hates you. Then Allah will put hatred for you on earth. And wallahi, this is a calamity like no other calamity. Walking upon earth, utilizing the earth of Allah, the skies of Allah, the clothes that Allah gave us, the breath that Allah gave us, the heart that Allah gave us, the sight that Allah gave us, the money that Allah gave us, the job that Allah gave us, everything that Allah gave us, yet Allah doesn't love us. While we are utilizing all of His blessings. That's like you living in the house of someone, and you are using all of their furniture, their food, their money, and they want you to get out. You know what a terrible feeling that is? As soon as you come into the house, everybody's like, oh, this guy is here again. They just want to jump out of the window because they don't want to deal with you. You know what a terrible feeling that is? For one of us to feel that he is hated like that? So we cannot afford to be hated by Allah Azza wa Jal while utilizing His blessings. In order to attain Allah's love, we need to do ihsan, be good, worship Allah truly, the way we're supposed to worship Him, not fake. You don't come to the salah, say Allahu Akbar. You see some strange things. What kind of salah is this man? He's looking around. You walk across him, he looks at you. Ish! Ya akhi, you are standing in front of Allah, praying to Allah. How are you looking at me? And do you know what you're saying? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Do you know the narrations that deal with this particular surah, the verses of the surah, that Allah responds to you when you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? Allah says, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. When you say praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Do we know these narrations? So if we are doing salah in this fashion, if we are not in the state of ihsan, then we are disqualified from the love of Allah. And alhamdulillah, there's room for repentance. So all we need to do is change and ask Allah for assistance. And we need to purify ourselves inwardly by repenting, outwardly by cleaning ourselves. A Muslim is supposed to be clean. Don't come to the masjid smelling, where the people next to you want to leave the masjid. You're supposed to honor yourself. Make sure you smell good. If you work in construction work and you sweat, wash yourself before you come. Get some oil, some cologne. Perfume yourself. Because Allah loves those who do that. And we're trying to get Allah's love. And most importantly, let's follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every detail. Don't be picky. Say, is this an obligation, akhi, or is it just a voluntary act? Do I really have to do it, or is this advice? Ya akhi, don't play this game with yourself. If the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said do it, just do it. If you want to give fatwa, learn whether it's an obligation or otherwise. If you're just a servant of Allah, just implement in order to attain Allah's love. Because on the Day of Judgment, this is the true way of success. Meeting Allah while Allah loves you. And anything other than that is regret. And none of us can afford the regret of the Day of Judgment. Because there will be no coming back and there will be no room to change. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us benefit from that which we heard, and to join us all in Jannah, in Paradise, as one community, along with all the believers who preceded us, from those who followed the messengers who preceded Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to join us in His mercy, and to make us among those who hear the speech and follow the best of it. Aqim as-salah.